So before I start this very important topic, let me pray. Heavenly Father, we are in your temple today to worship you. And I'm asking you to be here, coming with blessings for every one of us. The little ones as the grown people. And allow us to grasp every lesson that you put in this message, that we may use them to glorify you and live accordingly. Bestow upon your church, your Holy Spirit. Protect us as we live the last days, in the last days. In Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. All right. So we're studying this, we are talking about the end is near. Which one will have the upper hand? This is kind of like introduction to my message. The American Constitution has always been a beacon of hope to the oppressed of many in the United States of America. And because this constitution is a source of light, of democracy, and of freedom for many people across the globe, a huge number of foreigners aspire to live in this country as it has always been. Now, as never before, America becomes the dream of the world. The influx of immigrants through the southern border is witness to that. But what we all must know, American-born citizens, Americans by naturalization like me, and aspiring Americans, is that all this constitution, since its inception, inspires, will vanish soon. So, my advice to everyone is to not deceive yourself into thinking that we will enjoy the same privileges that we are enjoying now. All will vanish very soon. Now, America, we just saw it, is a good country because of its constitution. Many people do not have freedom in their countries. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion. And because we need to enjoy that freedom, we have decided, many of us, almost all of us, we have decided to live where we were born, to come in a country where there is freedom. But let me tell you something, that freedom, whether it be freedom of speech, or freedom of religion, all will be gone in the clinking of an eye, or blinking of an eye. Though it underwent many amendments and stands still, talking about the American Constitution, my Bible warns everyone not to be deceived by the American Constitution. No human form institution is eternal. One day or another, even the most lasting human institution will change. This time around, what many deceived believed that would never happen will happen pretty soon. Now, the lamb, like horns of America, is in history, Bible, and a spirit of prophecy. So it is not the Seventh-day Adventist Church preaching that America is a lamb-like beast. It is both in the Bible and the spirit of prophecy as it is in history. No one can deny it. No one can gainsay it. It is right there. And one text says, and he had two horns like a lamb. He is the beast. It has two horns. And to deceive like a lamb. Because when you see a lamb, what do you see? Youth, innocence, gentleness. Those are the characteristics of a lamb, but fitly representing the character of the United States when presented to the prophet as coming up in 1798. Now, you and I know that America got its independence in 1776. But 1798 is crucial in history. The Christian exiles who first fled to America, coming from Europe particularly, sought an asylum from royal oppression. I need you to highlight that, because I did. I highlighted it. Royal oppression and priestly intolerance. That's exactly what European Protestants were fleeing, leaving Europe, coming to the free land of America. At that time, they were just Indians in the land. And also, you will see more. And they determined to establish a government upon the broad foundation of civil and religious liberty. When you talk about a civil and religious liberty, you see the two scepters. Civil is the political power, and religious power, religious liberty. Churches need to separate themselves from the civil government. The Declaration of Independence sets forth the great truth that all men are created equal and endowed with the inalienable right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This is from the Great Controversy written by Sister White. So civil and religious liberty means two things. First, the two should be separate. Second, they should not mingle under no pretext to form one, as in the Dark Ages. Religious people should not be persecuted by other religious groups because they choose to worship a different way. Additionally, the civil government should not allow its authority be used the religious factions to oppress others because they have a different point of view. Now, because I am a Seventh-day Adventist and because I keep the true day of rest, should I be persecuting one who does not keep Saturday as day of rest? No. I don't care if you're Muslim. I don't care if you're Catholic or Protestant. If you keep Saturday or Sunday or Friday, this is not my job. This is your relationship with God. But this freedom, as I said earlier, that we enjoy coming to the church every Saturday to worship God, and others going to church every Sunday to worship God, this will come to an end. And I'm telling you pretty soon, Now, and the Constitution guarantees to the people the right of self-government. Can somebody tell me what is self-government? Can somebody tell me what is self-government? Have you heard our incoming president talk constantly in the campaign trail about self-government, returning to the people, the government, the power, authority? Yes, he did. Now, when you pass to the people, it should be so, the power or the authority to self-governance, it means that the people will select their representatives to go where? To two branches of the government. The executive branch of the government is elected. And Congress, both chambers, House and Senate, are composed of people who've been elected. And whatever you want them to do is what they will have to do. This is what we call self-government, providing that representatives elected by the popular vote, this is not me talking here, this is the way, shall enact and administer the laws. So if you have any law in any country, except for those dictatorship regime, I would say, regime where people do not, where the president banish their Congress, so you will not have laws coming from whether it be House or Senate. Now, let's continue. Freedom of religious faith was also granted. Every man being permitted to worship God according to the dictates of his conscience. Republicanism and Protestantism became the fundamental principles of the nation. Those are two principles that are the secret of its power and prosperity. Republicanism and Protestantism. The oppressed and downtrodden throughout Christendom have turned to this land, like me, with interest and hope. Millions have sought its shores, and the United States has risen to a place among the most powerful nations of the earth. This is America. And as you know, I was not born here. And when you hear my accent, you say, Elias, this man does not come from here. All right? But highlight that for me. Republicanism and Protestantism. Now, what republicanism means? A republic that does not have what? A king. A king is never elected. A king is elected through what? Lineage. Like if I am king now, I die, my first son or my first daughter will succeed. Will succeed me. You see what I'm saying? So, when Europeans, Protestants came here in America, they came with the idea to establish a country on the principle of a republic. A republic where there is no king, there is a president. That's one. Second, Protestantism. What does Protestantism mean? Protestantism means that there will be a church led not by a pope. We don't need a pope. Because the pope is not selected, is not, it's, it is selected by a group of people, not by the by the nation. And the Pope can decide. He is the head of the church. He can do whatever pleases him. We don't need, when the European Protestant came here, it was for to establish a country using those two principles, republicanism and Protestantism. Now, who have voted the Republican Party in the past election? Who have voted the Republican Party? Everyone knows that former President Trump won what? The presidential elections by great margins, both in the popular votes, more than 3 million, and in the electoral votes, 312 to 226. That's how our incumbent president won the election. He won 31 out of 50 states. That's a lot. The margin is what? If you take 31 from 50, you have what? 19. The margin is 19 states above the other one. But who made that landslide possible? The answer is simple. A majority composed of Catholics and Protestants. And if you were watching TVs or TV, if you were watching videos on YouTube, you would see that Catholics and Protestants alike were engaging in the fight to elect President Trump and a Congress made of Catholics and Protestants, but particularly Catholics. And they wanted to have those people that you see there, they wanted to have them. I want to remind everyone that there were almost no Catholics in the country when the pilgrims arrived here from Europe. But now, they are everywhere. The Catholic Church has educated many in power across the states and the world. Many of those who possibly will be members of Trump cabinet are Jesuit trained and also are active members or contributors to Heritage Foundation, the largest think tank in the world. Now, what are you talking about? 58% of U.S. Catholics favored Trump in the election. 18-point margin represents the largest voting gap among the group in decades. 60% of white Catholics voted Trump compared to 37% for Harris. Now, what about the evangelicals? After former President Donald Trump gave his victory speech early Wednesday at the Palm Beach Convention Center, dozens of his supporters gathered in a lobby to sing "How Great Thou Art." Do you know this song? Do you know this song? Reciting from memory the words and harmonies of a classic hymn popular among evangelical Christians. Let me tell you that 8 out of 10 white evangelical Christians voted Trump. 8 out of 10. Now, I need you to hear, hopefully we can hear it. Can we have some? Why? Why should they be so happy? What did they expect? What are they expecting? What is their goal? Let me read for you. Biblical evidences. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now, you know that the lamb-like beast is America. The lamb-like beast is America. It is a lamb because of its innocence, gentleness, youth. Youth, because it is a young country compared to the other countries, particularly of Europe. There are countries of Europe who have been there for even 1,000 years. America has been around not more than 250 years. I put it at the max. I don't remember exactly. If you take 1776 to 2024, you may make the math and you will get it. Okay, now. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb. But don't forget, two horns. And he spake as a dragon. Now, everybody knows who is the dragon. Who is the dragon? Satan. The devil is the dragon. Now, what does the Bible say about America? The Bible said that America will speak like. Why do you wanna? You don't wanna say it. The Bible says that America will speak like a dragon. The dragon will speak through America, our country. So the two horns symbolize, as I said earlier, the republicanism and the Protestantism, or republicanism and Protestantism. Republicanism means led by the people. Protestantism, a country where people are free to worship God according to the dictate of their conscience. Republicanism also means the country is not led by the king or a monarch. And Protestantism, a country where there is no pope to dictate how and when the people worship. Now, and he, America, the lamb-like beast, he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him. All the power. Do you remember what kind of power the first beast had that prompted Europeans to leave Europe to come to America? What kind of power, what kind of authority used by the first beast that prompted people to leave Europe to come to America? It was a persecutive power, persecuting power of the Catholic Church, which is the first beast. The same power that the Catholic Church used back then in the Dark Ages will be used by America. Who prompted the Catholic Church to persecute the Protestant back in the days, in the Dark Ages? Satan. Who will prompt America to do the same thing? Satan. And how? And causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast. This is the aim of the dragon. The aim of the dragon is to be worshipped. Whose deadly wound was healed? People are saying that, oh, Donald Trump was about to die. He got how would you call it? I forget the way that you call it. But he got a shot in his ear. He could have died. He didn't die, and they said that he is that was the deadly wound. This cannot be so. The deadly wound is talking about the papacy who got destroyed, or the Pope got killed. Not that he got killed. He was brought into jail, and 2 years after he died. It is not talking about President Trump. Now it says, and deceived them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast. Make an image to the beast. We will come back to it. Which had the power, which had the wound by sword and did live. Now, here America starts speaking like a dragon, that they should make an image to the beast. America is starts speaking like a dragon by asking the nations to make an image to the beast. The one coming out of the sea. There's only one way to make that happen, by enacting a law. That's how the dragon speaks. This image to the beast means that the same thing that the Catholic Church has done in the Dark Ages, our today nations should do the same thing. America will require all nations of this earth to make an image to the beast. Now, last Saturday I was preaching that message in a different church. As I told you, when I'm not here, I'm not just wandering some place. When I'm not here, I'm preaching. I'm doing something for the Lord. Okay. Now, when I was preaching, I asked the people, tell me whether China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea will be destroyed or not. When I say destroyed, I'm not talking destroyed completely. Their power, will their power subsist at that time? Anybody? Will China resist the power of America at that time? Will Iran resist the power of America at that time? Will North Korea, will Russia resist the power of America at that time? No. This power that they exercise now will vanish very soon. Because the Bible says that America will ask everybody to make an image to the beast, and you will see it. And the statement that the beast with two horns causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, caused them, forces them to worship the first beast, indicates that the authority of this nation is to be exercised in enforcing some observance, which shall be an act of homage to the papacy. Such action would be directly or directly contrary to the principles of this government, to the genius of its free institutions, to the direct and solemn avowals of the Declaration of Independence, and to the Constitution. The founders of the nation wisely sought to guard against the employment of secular power on the part of the church, with its inevitable result in tolerance and persecution. Now, Trump has been claiming that he will give power back to the church. He's been saying that all along on the campaign trail. I will give back the power to the church. Now, Sister White says, the founders of the nation, wisely sought to guard against the employment of secular power on the part of the church, with its inevitable result, intolerance and persecution. I am so mad and so sad that I cannot give you the whole thing. We don't have time for that. But if you go to Google or to YouTube, just put Kevin Roberts. Kevin Roberts. And you will see a plethora of videos of him, the president of Heritage Foundation, talking about the power they will use when the next president is inaugurated. And Google also Ross Vaught, R-U-S-S, Vaught, V-O-U-G, no, G-H-T, V-O-U-G-H-T. This man is the architect of Project 2025, which is a mandate for leadership. They are talking about the next administration. And they say clearly and loud that they will have their policy taken into charge by the next government. Who are they? Catholics and Protestants, particularly Catholics. The founders of the nation wisely sought to guard against the employment of secular power on the part of the church, which, with its inevitable result, intolerance and persecution. Now, the Constitution provides that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. This will be done away with. Congress will make law in favor of Catholics and Protestants. If not in this administration, in coming administration, I don't know when. Or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, and that no religious test shall ever be required as a qualification to any office of public trust under the United States. Only in flagrant violation of these safeguards to the nation's liberty can any religious observance be enforced by civil authority. Yes, the churches will use the power of the government, federal government, state government, local government. They will enact a law, a religious law against us. Only, but the inconsistency of such action is no greater than is represented in the symbol. It is the beast with lamb-like horns in profession, pure, gentle, and harmless, that speaks as a dragon. America will speak no more as a human being. America will speak no more as a lamb. America will speak as a dragon. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. I don't care if you Chinese, I don't care if you Iranian, Iranian, I don't know. I don't care if you Russian, I don't care if you're not Korean or American or French. You will worship the beast, otherwise you will be killed. Now, otherwise means if you don't want to keep Sunday as day of rest, you will be killed. And my question to you, do you love your life so much that you don't want to be killed? To keep Sunday as day of rest. And it causeth all, both small and great. My question. How many classes, social classes, will there be in America. All across the globe, there will be two classes, small and great, poor or rich. Poor or rich. Middle class will be destroyed in America. It is either you're rich, Elon Musk, or poor, Elon Alias, okay? Free or bond. It is either you are free or you slave. To receive a mark in their right hand and in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that hath the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So if you don't have those things, you cannot buy or sell. So do not expect that you will still possess whatever you have. You may be buying a huge mansion, and you believe that you will stay in for long, but according to the agenda 2030, you will owe nothing. You will owe nothing. Or you will own, not owe, own. You will own, I'm sorry. Not that you will not owe, you will owe. You will owe everything. Earlier I should be saying own. You will own nothing. You will owe everything. Everything will be theirs. The lamb like horns and dragon voice of the symbol point to a striking contradiction between the professions and the practice of the nation thus represented. The speaking of the nation is the action of its legislative and judicial authorities. You see it? When I told you earlier that the speaking of the dragon will be through the legislative branch of the government, but not just that, judicial authorities. You remember in 2015 when Barack Obama has asked SCOTUS to make the LGBTQRS become legal across the nation? When SCOTUS has decided so, did you see White House? Light of all the colors of the LGBTQRS people were on the White House. The speaking of the nation is the action of its legislative and judicial authorities. By such action, it will give the light to those liberal and peaceful principles which it has put forth as the foundation of its policies. The prediction that it will speak as a dragon and exercise all the power of the first beast plainly foretells a development of the spirit of intolerance and persecution that was manifested by the nations represented by the dragon and the leopard-like beast. Sister White continues, and the statement that the beast with two horns causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast indicates that the authority of this nation is to be exercised in enforcing some observance which shall be an act of homage to the papacy. She continues, the pacific tone of Rome in the United States does not imply a change of heart. If the Catholic Church has been conducted itself or herself as a lamb, it is because there was intolerance toward them. But when that intolerance is relieved, what will happen? Says Bishop O'Connor, religious liberty is merely endured until the opposite can be carried into effect without peril to the Catholic world. The Archbishop of St. Louis, One said, heresy and unbelief are crimes. They are punished as other crimes. Remember, in the Dark Ages, anybody who contradicted the teaching of the Catholic Church was denounced as what? Heretic. Someone that preaches lies. And when they call you heretic, what happens to you? They persecute you, they banish you, they put you in jail, and they burn you at stake. A recent writer, this is what he will say. Do you believe that the Catholic Church loves the American Constitution? As I'm talking to you, there is a movement against the American Constitution. Catholic and Protestants alike put themselves together. Journalists, politicians, and so many other people are trying to destroy our Constitution. But let me tell you what Sister White says of the Catholics regarding the Constitution. The Constitution of the United States guarantees liberty of conscience. This is not what Sister White says. This is what Sister White reports on what Josiah Strong Didi said. Pope Pius IX, in his encyclical letter of August 15, 1854, said, the absurd and erroneous doctrines or waverings in defense of liberty of conscience are a most pestilential error, a pest of all others, most to be dreaded in a state. He was referring to the American Constitution. They don't like it because there is liberty of conscience, religious liberty, freedom of speech. That's why they're trying to block people online. People who have their own videos talking about the COVID-19 or they're talking about every subject. They block them. Even I myself have been blocked by them. The absurd and erroneous doctrines or ravings in defense of liberty of conscience are a most pestilential error, a pest of all others, most to be dreaded in a state. The same Pope, in his encyclical letter of December 8, 1864, anathemized those who assert the liberty of conscience and of religious worship. Also, all such as maintain that the church may not employ force. So, think about it. A church that was persecuted in Europe, a church that comes here to avoid persecution, will ally herself with her former persecutor to persecute those who would not worship God their way. And these people anathemize those who talk about liberty of conscience or religious worship. You cannot have it. They don't want you to have it. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Amendments to the United States Constitution. They call it Article 5 Convention, or they call it State Convention, or they call it a mandatory convention, is one of two methods used by Article 5 of the United States Constitution, whereby amendments to the United States Constitution may be proposed on the application of two-thirds of the state legislatures, that is 34 of 50, Congress shall call a convention for proposing amendments, which become law only after ratification by 3/4 of the states, 38 of the 50. Now, here we see that those people are behind it, but it says in 2015, citizens for self-governance launched a nationwide effort to require Congress to call an Article 5 convention through a project called Convention of the States. Don't forget, Sister White says, all the principles of our Constitution will be repudiated. Okay? Repudiated. In a bid to run in the federal government, as of 2024, CSG's resolution has passed in 19 states. We already have 19 states accepting the change in our Constitution. Who is behind it? Catholics and Protestants. Why? They want to come with their own day of rest. They say it many times. I'm praying that you would go on YouTube and look it up. Put Kevin Roberts and Ross Vaught and you will see it. Now, in late 2023, the Heritage Foundation issued a report titled Reconsidering the Wisdom of an Article 5 Convention of the State. Who is behind the Heritage Foundation? Those two men that I just gave you the name of. Who? Kevin Roberts, Ross Vaught. The Heritage Foundation, sometimes referred to simply as Heritage, is an American conservative think tank based in Washington, D.C., founded in 1973. It took a leading role in the conservative movement in the 1980s during the presidency of Ronald Reagan, whose policies were taken from the policies of Ronald Reagan were taken from Heritage Foundation studies, including its mandate for leadership. Now, let me ask you a question. For you who were born here, and for you who know history, what alliance existed between Ronald Reagan and the Pope? What did they do together? Nobody remember? Okay, my sister. Do you know what happened? It was those two, Pope John II and also Ronald Reagan, who put themselves together to destroy the walls of Berlin, the communism in Russia. What was the name of Russia at that time? It was not Russia. Russia is was the capital, the mainland, but it was USSR. It does not exist anymore since November 89. Who did that? John Paul II and Ronald Reagan. And where did Ronald Reagan found his policy when he was president? In Heritage Foundation. And who is behind our incoming president as I'm talking? Heritage Foundation is behind Donald Trump. I don't want to keep you for too long. I've been speaking for a few minutes now. But let me recall you what is in the Heritage Foundation. The mandate for leadership. That has 900 pages, at least. They talk about Sabbath rest. They said, God ordained the Sabbath as a day of rest. Am I correct? Are they correct? Yes. Okay. And until very recently, the Judeo-Christian tradition sought to honor that mandate by moral and legal regulation of work on that day. So they're talking about regulation. They're talking about legislation. Okay. But when Catholics and Protestants are talking about the Sabbath, which day are they referring to? Sunday. So, let's keep reading. Moreover, a shared day off makes it possible for families and communities to enjoy time off together rather than as atomized individuals. The first phase of Sunday law is about families and communities to stay together. Remember that. They will say that it is not a religious law, it is a civil law, but it is in reality a religious law and provides a healthier cadence of life for everyone. Unfortunately, that communal day of rest has eroded under the pressures of consumerism and secularism, especially for low-income workers. Now, America will be speaking like a dragon. I'm telling you, don't forget it. They continue. Heritage Foundation, Project 2025, Congress, don't forget. Donald Trump said, we will take what? The authority back to the people. And he said, what is lacking in America is that the church does not have a say in the politics. He wants the church to be involved in politics. That's why we need to understand that. Congress should encourage communal rest. Is it encourage? How does Congress encourage? It says, it is by law. Congress should encourage communal rest by amending the Fair Labor Standards Act, FLSA, to require, this is legal, this is legislation, to require that workers be paid time and a half for hours work on the Sabbath. That day would default to what? Sunday. Brothers and sisters, it says the obligation by Congress, that means by law, the obligation would transfer to that period instead. Houses of worship, to the limited extent that maybe, okay, etc. I'm not going to give you that, but 29 out of 34 states are already in line with changing the American Constitution. Now, people would say that, oh, no, the Catholic Church has changed. But Sister White says, no, and they themselves says they do not change. The Bible says that Catholic Church does not change. And what symbol does the Bible use to say that the Catholic Church does not change? Leopard. What in leopard shows that Catholic Church does not change? The leopard has some spot on its body. Can the leopard change the spot on its body? Likewise, they believe they cannot change. They will not change. Whereas, some Seventh-day Adventist pastors are preaching that the Catholic Church has changed. This is deceitful. Let me finish. Brothers and sisters, I cannot preach the whole thing because I'm telling you it's a very powerful message that you need never to forget. Freedom of conscience will be taken away from us. Sister White says, this is the last, before the last. By the decree of enforcing the institution of the papacy in violation of the law of God, our nation will disconnect herself fully from righteousness. Keep reading. When Protestantism, we were talking about earlier, shall stretch her hands across the gulf to grasp the hand of the Roman power. Now they are entwined. When she shall reach over the abyss to clasp hands with spiritualism, The dragon. When under the influence of this threefold union, Protestantism, Catholicism, spiritualism, threefold union, when under the influence of this threefold union, our country shall repudiate every principle of its constitution as a Protestant and Republican government, and shall make provision for the propagation of papal falsehoods and delusions, then we may know that the time has come for the marvelous working of Satan and that the end is near. The title of our message today was "The End is Near." Brothers and sisters, do not sleep. If you sleep, you will be caught unawares. The overwhelming surprise will get you, and you will not have power to overcome. You will be overcome. You will be lost forever. My message for you today is, brothers and sisters, it is high time for us to warn others to the impending danger lurking at the next corner. Do you know our biggest issue regarding that topic? Many in our ranks don't want to hear about it and would want the preachers who preach about it to be quiet. Is it possible for us to shut our mouths up? No, it is not possible. If we were to do that, your blood and that of the world would be on us. That's why I will be talking about present truth in every message that I preach. Brethren, be ready, for the end is near. God bless you.